This is Amy Boss-Tenniger from the Manhattan Church of Christ. Thank you for listening to our podcast. The sermon you are about to hear was recorded from our Sunday morning worship service. You can watch our entire worship service on our YouTube channel. Simply visit manhattanchurch.org and click on the YouTube icon. We hope that this message will be helpful to you as you explore the Word of God. And now, this week's message.
A reading from the book of Ephesians and John. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can all ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Pray with me. Dear Lord, our hearts, our minds, our very lives, open them to your word as we continue to explore the intimate language of prayer that you have given us. May your name be glorified in the name of our intercessor and friend, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Good morning. It's great to be here, and it seems like people are starting to come back from vacation, and we're filling up again, so it's kind of reunion time, and that's what our retreats often feel like as we start at this time of year. But before I begin, I want to thank Tom Robinson, our senior minister, for inviting me to preach today. I also want to thank Denise Sharonfont, who's been working with me on making plans for the retreat. Denise, along with many, many other people, our entire staff, and many of our members are planning portions of our retreat. So I'm really excited about all of the voices that will be brought together in our weekend together. The planning process for me has also already been very rich, a very rich experience. Next week at this time, those who are not attending the retreat will be gathered here for worship, and the rest of us will be worshiping at the Spruce Lake Center. Whether or not you will be separated geographically, but we'll be together in spirit. Whether or not you're attending the retreat, I invite you to join us for what we're thinking about this weekend and beyond the weekend, going forward, that we explore the nature and practice and the power of prayer, and what it means to be a prayerful people. We will also contemplate the first part of the title. This sermon's titled, May They Be One. Today, what's prayer got to do with it? So we're going to talk about the what's prayer got to do with it, and it's really a rhetorical question, so don't expect that I'm going to like spoon feed you an answer and have it all at the ready by the end of this. But hopefully we're going to spark this as a living question, a question that we live out and that we continue to explore throughout our lives. But next week, as we look at John 17, may they be one, our idea of living as a unified body, Amy Henniger will be leading our meditations on that up at the retreat. Today, I'd like for us to ponder prayer and our prayerful practice. our very life of prayer, if you will. We just heard the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I love that, to know something that surpasses knowledge. That's kind of a great paradox there. It is within this wide and high and long and deep love of God that I want us to approach our reflections today. It is our living in the very presence of God that shapes our prayerfulness. Our multidimensional God has provided a boundless realm of loving reality in which we are free to explore and discover the practice of communicating with God and with each other as we live in community. As we live in community that's under God's grace. On one hand, prayer seems common. It seems like we do it all the time. We engage in it. But we're human, and we have ups and downs with our prayer life. We abandon it sometimes for long stretches. At other times, we engage fervently in prayer. And as I thought about this, the image of prayer as a multifaceted gem has been the primary visual image that comes to my mind. A gem with countless cuts on it, each one revealing its beauty. And I believe we can spend our entire lives exploring and appreciating more and more each of these facets. To learn about and experience the power of prayer, we must engage in it, for sure. But before we jump in, let me just share a little bit of my process here. A few days back, when this wasn't, there were no pieces of paper with anything on it, and after many, many weeks of thinking, praying, reading scripture, reading other texts, I sort of really just felt overwhelmed, and I thought, how do I bring any structure to this? How do I talk about this today? And it made me think about my students. Many of you know I'm a language therapist, and I work with students of all of school age, all the way up through high school and college. And many of them are very bright students and have lots of knowledge in their heads, but they really become paralyzed at having to get that knowledge organized and get it down on paper. And I was really kind of like one of my students a few days ago. So I said, okay, what would I do? What would I do? We would think of what would be the best structure to help bring out what you know. Well, I opted for actually a very elementary structure. I bet Zeke could probably tell me what it is, that who, what, where, when, why, and how. So that's our structure for today. That's how I came to it. And then I was able to start to organize this a little bit. So let's start with who. Well, we are certainly involved as ones praying to and listening to God. But who is this God we pray to? I am who I am, is how God revealed self to Moses. That's pretty all-encompassing. Sometimes we sing about our all in all. But God is also referred to in many other ways throughout Scripture, and really depicted in other ways, even if he's not given a particular title or reference. And I think I found it helpful to think of the many names of this one God. It reflects the many facets of the divine being. God the Almighty? Yes, by all means. God the Creator? Yes. God the Redeemer? God King of the Universe? God the Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace? We sing about this. All of these are images that we have in our songs and in our scripture. But Richard Rohr suggests in his book Just This, that while all of these images are true, we often forget that we also pray to God the vulnerable, the God who is at once almighty and all vulnerable. That got me to thinking of all of the images that we have of God from Scripture that could really help to expand our knowledge and our connection to the presence of God in all the circumstances that we face. What if we addressed prayers to God the refugee? Remember in Matthew, they had to flee. They had to leave Bethlehem. Herod was killing all of the children. What if we addressed our prayers to God the wounded healer? God, the rejected. God, the imprisoned one. God, acquainted with grief. Expanding our images of God as we pray, Rohr writes, allows us to deal with the full human situation and know that God is not just way far off watching our suffering or even just allowing it to happen. But God is actually somehow a part of our suffering. That we pray to a vulnerable God as well as an almighty God is an invitation to approach God with our own vulnerability. We are invited to surrender. We sing that hymn, I Surrender All. To listen as well as to talk. When we only bring our holiness to God, what do we have to gain? How can we grow? When we bring our pain, our most vulnerable selves, we are most able to receive. Think on that. I'm going to leave you with that. Think about who you pray to. See what other names and images. Alexandra had in her prayer today, God the Advocate. And you will come up with many more. I've just scratched the surface here. And see what comes to your mind and ponder the nature of the divine. See how a particular aspect of God may shape your prayer. Explore and discover this. Next question. What? What do we pray for? Well, I mean, truly, I could just have one sentence and say, well, we pray for any and everything. You know, our whole lives can be brought before God. But I suggest that our aim is not just to say more prayers or to say really, really good prayers, but our aim is to live prayerful lives, steeped in the life of God. But in that prayerful life, we do lift up prayers, and that is part of that life. In prayer, we bring praise and thanksgiving, adoration for God, and awe and wonder of creation. And yet, in the midst of blessing, when we're singing those praises, we can simultaneously experience pain and suffering. I think many of us would admit that we can sometimes get stuck, that sometimes we feel genuinely lost. Not just, oh, we're having a bad day, but we can feel that we have really lost our way. Sometimes we shut down and we cry out. And that language is so there to support us in the Psalms. Psalms 13 starts out, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Prayer, even in times of drought, give us the power to persevere until the rain comes. The Psalms depict a relationship with God that allows for the full expression, the full expression of human emotion. Prayers that accuse God, that argue with God, that accuse God of abandoning the people. Prayers that long to experience the presence of God again. Prayers for renewal. If anything teaches us that we can bring it all, it is a careful reading of the Psalms. Too often, I think, our prayers are mere lists and transactions that we want God to complete, and kind of like an Amazon wish list, I think. And with these prayers, we give little thought to our participation and our responsibility in bringing about the answer to prayer. This is something I've really been thinking about a lot lately, how we need to pray about what's our part in this. There are so many prayers in Scripture, and I encourage you to seek those out and study further about this nature of prayer. Prayers often start with praise, like we said, Mary's prayer. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. The Lord's Prayer starts with "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Let's look at another type of prayer. Paul's prayer for healing in 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. "Therefore, to keep me from being too elated," this is about the thorn in the flesh, "a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Wow. Paul seems to have really engaged some self-examine in this prayer. He considers why he was given this thorn in the flesh, and then he examines God's response. He contemplates the no. Paul did not just say, "Well, God said no, I guess I just have to suffer." No, his reflection and processing lead him, transform his understanding of who he is in God, lead him to a deeper understanding and experience of who he is and what God wants for Paul. Therefore, strengthening his faith, the faith that perseveres beyond the circumstance, that is a lot right there for any of us to think on. Here I want to say that I'm really looking in my own prayer life at ways to pray more deeply, because I think I've neglected that. I haven't gone to that other level, and this really inspires me to take a look at this. It changes suffering and our trouble if we can move beyond just wanting to get rid of them, but to rather ask God what we are to learn and how we are to grow in this circumstance. I invite you to think about this in your own life, to insert these questions if you don't already ponder them. Another way to pray more deeply is to ask, how am I to be a part of the answer to prayer that I was talking about before? What is my responsibility? How am I to live and go forward with the answer I received? So I just want to read a short excerpt from a book that I've been reading by Joan Chittister called The Breath of the Soul, Reflections on Prayer. And this is on her section about prayer and responsibility. "Our ideas of God determine our ideas of prayer. If God is the source of life, if we are made in God's image and we are meant to will for the world what God wills for the world, then we pray one way. And if, on the other hand, God is the great cornucopia in the sky, one who doles out life to us a piece at a time if we beg for it correctly, then we pray another way entirely. But God is not a magician. God is not a vending machine. God is the fullness of life, the magnet of our hearts, the model and purpose and end of all our actions. We are here to continue what God has begun, the growing of the garden of life. God calls us to be involved, not just in praying for ourselves, but for praying for others as we live in community and in the world. We are to have our eyes open to the needs of others as well as our own needs. And just one other short passage here. Actually, it's going to start with a story about involvement. This story in her book was told by Abel Hertzog. A rabbi entered a room in his home and saw his son deep in prayer. But in the corner stood a cradle with a crying baby. "Son, can't you hear?" the rabbi said, "the baby is crying." The son said, "Oh, father, I did not hear because I was lost in God." And the rabbi said, "Son, one who is lost in God sees the very fly crawling up the wall." Prayer does not make us less aware of circumstances of life. It makes us even more aware than we've ever been before. Why? Because now we see the world as God sees the world. We hear the cry of the poor as God hears the cry of the poor. We are less wrapped up in ourselves and more aware of the needs of others, not more self-centered than ever. Paul, again, in Colossians, I love this passage here, is another example of praying for others. He writes to the Colossians, it says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. He is always wrestling in prayers on your behalf, so that you may stand mature and fully assured in everything that God wills." So many of the prayers in the Bible are about the doing the will of God, not the Amazon list, you know, but the will of God. And here, I love that term, wrestling. You know, do we wrestle in prayer as we're praying for other people? I love that. It's a full body, full mind, full spirit engagement to be involved in wrestling. We pray for one another. We pray for the faith of one another. Paul prays often for the churches that he works with, and Jesus prays for his disciples and those who believe because of them. Jesus calls us to the kingdom work to be done and tells us in John that whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to my Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What? We're going to do more than Jesus? Yes. There is tons of work to be done. We know it. We just have to look around the world and see it. There is work to be done in the new creation, and we as Christians have the power of God's Spirit living within us. Jesus sees the possibilities of what we can accomplish. Will we listen to that and seek and imagine those opportunities? Will we pray and act boldly for God's mission in the world? Will we see the fly on the wall? There are many ways to pray, and the beauty of our faith is that we have access to prayer and to talking with and listening to God. At the retreat, we're going to spend an hour on Saturday morning, the first hour, in communal prayer, starting out with praise and thanksgiving led by our youth. Following that, we will share in prayers of lament, then share in the prayer of confession. And finally, we will share in prayers of loving encouragement. And we have different members planning each one of those segments. After this, we will have an hour of silence for personal reflection. That time of listening for God is really vital in a prayer life, in our lives of prayer. And then we'll come back together the last hour of the morning in small groups and pray for one another. In the afternoon, after a time of recreation, we're going to explore short prayers connected with a creative activity or a physical activity of some sort. And this will allow us to explore ways to integrate prayer throughout the day, that prayer does not just have to be like, oh, I got to set aside this hour before I go to work or after school or whenever, that prayer is with us all the time because we believe that God is as close as our breath, as we were talking about before, that God is here, right here, not there, that we at any moment have that ability to connect. Okay, well, back to our structure. The next two are easy, are short. Where to pray? Anywhere. When to pray? Any and all the time. How to pray? Well, we have images of that we should pray in secret, that our prayer should be done without making a show of it. But we also pray with others. And we pray for others, and we pray communally here in worship, and we pray in small groups. We can pray a single word. We can pray a line of scripture. We can pray a line from a song, a hymn. We can sit in silence and listen for a word from God. And when we do not know how to pray, Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Why? Well, I think we pray to experience the presence of God. I think we pray to learn about ourselves. And by surrendering in prayer, we especially learn more and more about ourselves as God knows us. The more we can shed the veneer of who we're trying to be out there in the world and really, really make ourselves transparent to ourselves. God knows who we are. Well, there's transforming power in that, in naming our state, whether joyful, grieved, troubled, or lost. I mean, I really have often felt that prayer is the original talking cure. You know, therapy is often talked of as the talking cure, and I think therapy is very valuable. But this has been around a lot longer. And if we really talk to God, we can find transformation and a closeness. The beginning of learning the source of our difficulties. We can learn more about that in the midst of prayer. Prayer can be diagnostic. It can help us to learn what's really going on inside. When we pray communally, we find we are not alone. We draw closer to one another. We are able to empathize with one another, support one another, discover how we might be the answer to prayer in the life of someone else. We might share a different perspective. I had an experience a few weeks ago of of just experiencing this, the wonder of having a group of people that you've prayed with for a number of years, a small group who's met in my home. And so I'll just tell you what my situation was that day. I was about to leave my apartment to go to a medical consultation. And I could just feel all morning just kind of the anxiety and nervousness around that building. And I had about 10 minutes before I needed to leave, and I sat down, and I actually just burst out into tears, and I was just sobbing, and I had a whole list of questions all typed and printed out, you know, because I was very thorough in thinking about all of this. But I wondered, how was I going to be able to talk to the doctor about these questions if I was going to be blubbering the whole time? So... And then that kind of made me cry even more, you know, because you kind of, it becomes a snowball. And I think that when we're caught in these kind of situations, which are very human situations, that's when, you know, this, how I was feeling that moment felt like the biggest thing in the world. And that's where, why I started with that Ephesians reading, because I think that's what we lose sight of that, hey, you know, my life is much bigger than this feeling that I'm caught up in right now. It's a very real feeling, but feelings also pass. And so I think it's really helpful to have that perspective of this big love that we live in the midst of. So I sat down, and there was my laptop, and I opened it up. And I began an email, and I sent it to my small group. And it was two sentences, and it was, I'm sitting here with tears, fears, and loneliness as I face going to this appointment. Please pray for the peace of Jesus. Now, before I ever hit send, I was already calming down. So right there, I see that as the power of naming. I was no longer caught up. And this is what, you know, Jesus invites us to name these things in his presence. But then there's power in naming it for someone else too. So then I did hit send. Left, on the bus, you know, ping of message comes through. And it's our sister Melanie Hyman was the first message. I got several messages throughout the day. But Melanie's email to me, also I think maybe two sentences, said, oh, I faced a similar situation a few weeks ago. And I prayed about that, and I found the peace of Jesus in the kindness of the medical workers I met at the office. Well, thank you, Melanie, because that right there just gave me a different lens to look through. And sometimes that's really all we need. We need a different lens, a way of looking, a different way of seeing Jesus, of seeing how we're going to be fed. And so I think that for me, it was just a powerful lesson in not trying to white-knuckle a situation and power through, because that's a little bit of my nature. And so it's important for me to challenge my nature and to reach out in that way. And I thank Melanie, and I thank anyone else in our group who responded in that day, because it was really very uplifting. So, you know, this focus on prayer is not just so we can become really good prayers and do everything just right on a checklist, but it's to develop the language of an intimate relationship with God and with each other. And in that development, we move toward what the Apostle Paul hoped for in Thessalonians, I think, that they be able to pray without ceasing. Now, you know, I heard that as a child growing up in the church, and I was fascinated by that. How can that be? How could you possibly pray without ceasing? How do you even approach that? You know, I thought, we have to think other things. That's in language, we call that competing messages. I can't be praying and like reading my school books at the same time. I can't be praying and doing this. So, and I think if we think of praying just as saying a prayer, it is pretty impossible, okay? But I think that the quest runs deeper than that. And I think that it's about how do our lives become prayerful lives? How do we become a living prayer? A living and dynamic prayer practice is a portion of that and can shape our prayerfulness if we let it. Joan Chittister also writes that prayerfulness sees God everywhere. Prayerfulness talks to God everywhere. Prayerfulness is both a gift and grace and a quality of soul to be developed. So we are engaged in developing this prayerful life. By realizing that God is closer to us than the very breath that we breathe. Prayer and the prayerful life is an adventure. It will have highs and lows. It will bring unexpected answers. It requires our surrender, our engagement, our pondering, our full participation. Along the way, as much as we learn about prayer, there is that much more of it that is mysterious and unexplainable. We jump in. We love one another. We listen. We learn. We pray. We pray courageously, we pray boldly, and we are sustained through any circumstance by the grace of God. May they be one. What's prayer got to do with it? I've barely scratched the surface. I'm sure you have thoughts and ways you would expand upon this. I'll think of 5 or 6 or 10, 20 things that I wish I had said today afterwards. You may have different perspectives, but let's have a church-wide conversation about this. Let's talk with each other about it. It's all grist for the mill. Let's pray together. Lord God Almighty and Lord God All Vulnerable, we come in humble adoration at the wonder of your creation and with deep gratitude for the love you have lavished upon us. We, with the love that draws us into your presence, hear us, Lord. Have mercy on us, Lord. Make us a prayerful people who seek to do your work as we walk in the world. Draw us together as a body. Make us a people after your own heart. Make us a people who forgive one another as you have forgiven us. Make us a patient people. Break down our resistance and pride that we may be a people who rely on you, who wait for your word. Open our hearts that we may come to you as vulnerable creatures, seeking your guidance and grace. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please stand for the benediction. Thank you all. I'm just feeling the love. Thank you. Come. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Go forth to serve.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Manhattan Church of Christ. We are located at 48 East 80th Street in New York City. Adult and children's Bible classes are held every Sunday beginning at 9:30 a.m., followed by worship services at 10:30 a.m. For more information about the church and to hear previous podcasts, please visit our website at www.manhattanchurch.org.